So our topic is the dispute between Jay Alex and McKinsey. Brief introduction. For those of you who don't know Jay Alex, he spent decades as a restructuring professional, but it's been over a decade now that he's been retired. He now devotes his time primarily to philanthropy, educational projects, and of course his family. But once upon a time, he founded a consulting firm that became Alex Partners. And I think it's important to note that although Jay still has a seat on the board of Alex Partners, he doesn't have any management position, he's not involved in the day-to-day, and Alex Partners and its partners are not parties in any of this bankruptcy litigation that's been going on between Jay and McKinsey. And what is that litigation? It's taking place now in several courts, the Southern District of Texas here, but also Eastern District of Virginia, Northern District of Illinois, Southern District of Texas, and other places. And it centers on McKinsey's disclosure practices in bankruptcy cases. And this effort by Jay sort of dovetails with a parallel effort by the U.S. Trustee's Office nationwide to increase transparency and try to hold professionals accountable to following things like Rule 2014 and disclosing relevant connections. There's also an ongoing investigation of McKinsey by the Justice Department, which was, I think, first reported last Friday in the New York Times and also the Wall Street Journal. So that's sort of the backdrop. But I think probably the first place to start is, and since everybody's getting CLE credit, taking a quick review of what the disclosure rules are for professionals who want to get retained under Section 327. And Zach and I have put up on the screen what we think the relevant statutes are, and somebody was handing out printouts of those if you don't already have them memorized. And I think the starting point for that is, under Rule 327A, obviously, a professional is not allowed to hold or represent an interest adverse to the estate, and they must be a disinterested person. And disinterested person is separately defined in 10114. Very specifically, you can't be a creditor, equity security holder. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But you can't have either a interest materially adverse to the debtor, any class of creditors, et cetera. These are very familiar standards to all of us. The only thing I'd point out there that I think is not obvious, the disinterested person definition refers to materiality of the interest in the estate that would be disqualifying as a disinterested person. Section 327 does not have a materiality component. It doesn't have a de minimis exception. And the case law is pretty uniform that there are two requirements. You can't hold an adverse interest and you can't be a disinterested person. Those aren't the same thing. So if those are the requirements for qualifying under 327A, how do you know if a professional is disqualified or not? Well, that's where Rule 2014A comes in. 2014A has within it two specific requirements. Now, the applicant, and that's the trustee, debtor in possession, the person doing the hiring, sometimes a committee, they have to file an application that explains to the best of the applicant's knowledge all of the proposed professional's connections with the debtor, creditor, party in interest, attorneys and accountants, U.S. trustee, employees of the U.S. trustee's office. It's hard to imagine it being any broader in terms of what it covers in terms of connections. And that application has to come, second requirement, with a verified statement of the professional himself setting forth that person's connections with the debtor, creditors, all of those groups. Requirement there, no limitation that it be to the best of that person's knowledge. That's the applicant can rely on their best of their knowledge. But the professional themselves, the verified statement, no such requirement. And that imposes an obligation to go look. You have to do a conflicts check. You have to ask your partners if they know the parties in interest or if they have any connections, and then you report them. You can't simply say, I didn't know. So that's kind of what the statutes say. And now just briefly, what does the case law say about it? Not surprisingly, case law is pretty uniform across the country, but there's a couple of key themes you get out of the case law in terms of how you apply these rules. The first is that we're not just concerned with actual conflicts. Actual conflict of interest, you're out. You can't be employed under 327A. We're interested in things beyond that, connections that might give the appearance of impropriety, and that's important for several reasons. One is, bankruptcy affects a lot of different people who aren't lawyers, they're not professionals. a lot of bad things are happening to them, and they want to have some confidence. And that goes beyond just making sure that the lawyers and professionals involved aren't conflicted. It also means that they don't have connections that might give rise to the appearance of impropriety. And as the First Circuit tells us in Rome v. Bronstein, it's not a subjective test. It is not based on the appointed professional's good faith. It's an objective screening for even the appearance of impropriety. Controlling case law in this circuit, the American International Refinery case, makes clear that disclosures under 2014 are much broader than disqualifying interests under 327. Another aspect of the case law that I think is significant, there's a recognition that this isn't a retrospective analysis. Somebody failed to disclose something, and you look at the end of the case and say, oh, well, they did such a great job. And that connection had nothing to do with their advice, so it's okay. That's not the test. And the reason is, as the Supreme Court explained, when a fiduciary is in this role, you're never necessarily going to know how things were shifted or when the thumb was on the scale. What the Supreme Court said is the bankruptcy court need not speculate as to whether the result of a conflict was delay in action where speed was essential, to close the record of past transactions where publicity and investigation were needed, or to compromise claims by inattention where vigilant assertion was necessary.